We are in such a beautiful season. We are in such a beautiful season. Such a clear sense that God is busy journeying with us. And such a clear sense of what He's saying to us. And He's confirming it with words, with prophetic words. He's confirming it with things that are in the, that happens in society. He's confirming it through other churches that are hearing the same thing. It's usually a sign for me that there's something of a unity that God is working in His church. And we are privileged. I hope that we, firstly, I hope that you can see it. And secondly, if you can, I'm trusting that we would respond well to it. I'm trusting that we would really rejoice about that. And I know I made a joke last week when I said that, us Afrikaner people can sometimes be cautiously optimistic. Versichtig optimistisch. That we will truly, if we sense that the Spirit of God is doing something, I really want to encourage us that our prayers, our worship, the way that we live should reflect that God is on the move. And we should be filled with joy and excitement, knowing that whenever God does something, whenever there's a rebuilding or a restoring, there will always be opposition. But we do not focus on opposition. We focus on God. So we take notice after we have stared at Jesus. We glance at what the enemy is doing. After we have stared, and then when we have glanced and realized what the enemy is doing through intimidation, through fear, through discouragement, we fix our eyes upon Jesus. We fix our eyes on Him because He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our deliverer. So we're not saying that we're not going to look at it, discouragement and opposition, but please don't let the discouragement and the opposition be the focus. Let God be the focus. If we see God, the enemy seems small. If we look at the enemy and we look at ourselves, we fall into locust thinking. Just like the Israelites when they went into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb looked at the Lord. They came back, saw exactly the same cities, saw exactly the same giants, and said, "We are well able to do this." The other people, because they looked at God. What did God say? God is with us. We are well able to do this. The other 10 spies said, "We are like locusts. They are giants. And we are like locusts in our own eyes and in their eyes." What happened? Fear. And the fear turned into disobedience and rebellion against God. So in this season, I'm so aware that God is doing something. And I'm so aware that, yes, the enemy will come. But who is with us? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us. Take note. Not if God is for me. If God is for us, who can be against us? One can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. So it's important that we realize that God, yes, God is busy with us individually, but God is busy with us individually as part of a corporate. And if we remove ourselves out of the corporate and we think that I have this unique individual relationship that I can have with God without other people, prepare for defeat. You'll only be able to put 1,000 to flight. And I want to say to you that the demon that was called Legion was more than 1,000. So if the enemy knows that you can put 1,000 to flight by yourself and he finds you by yourself, guess what? He's not only sending 1,000. He's sending 10,000. So this morning I want to encourage us with the us of God. The beauty of God, that God has us as his people. Loves us individually as part of his people. And don't worry, as I've said already, you are unique. Just like everybody else. You are. And God loves the fact that we are unique and diverse. But he does not want diversity to lead to division. But he brings diversity together to paint the picture of the beautiful magnificence of Christ. Not one of us can carry the fullness of the beauty of Christ. But together we carry the giftedness of Christ. Together we carry the anointing of Christ. Together we carry the manifold wisdom of God. Together. Not one person. That is why when God called Nehemiah, even when God called Nehemiah as an individual, he called him to a corporate. He called him to a task that he could not do by himself, even if he tried. God called him into a specific purpose and a specific role that he had to play in the context of a corporate. And so I want to encourage us in this season that we would truly ask God, that God will open our eyes, that God would cause us to see what he is doing. Because we get enough reminders of what the enemy is doing. Right? Who of you know that you don't have to meditate, you don't have to concentrate to figure out what the enemy is doing? I mean, you just need to live, you just need to read a newspaper, you just need to watch a television program, you just need to talk to people that are not believers. You just need to live and you will be reminded very clearly and oftenly and consistently what the enemy is doing. But it takes a little bit more for us to concentrate, to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And the Lord has been speaking to us about the love of God and the love that is connected to obedience and that he wants to make us sent ones and the thing about beholding God. And then God started speaking about that he wants to equip saints for work of ministry so we can send people. And I want to say to you that I'm really blessed. I am so blessed by the way that people have responded to the vehicles that God is using to equip saints for work of ministry. I mean, you don't often get 40 people out of a fairly smallish congregation of working people, you don't get 40 people on a Monday night coming to learn more about the Bible. You don't get it. I don't know if you, maybe student congregations of 600, 700, maybe they have that kind of people. But I want to say to you that I've been in ministry for a couple of years and it's not often that, and I'm not talking about Bible school students, I'm talking about saints just like you and me that are willing to take a Monday evening out of their already busy schedule and coming to sit for 2 hours under the Word of God. That is a good response to an invitation of God. That is a good response to, wow, this is what God is doing, so I want to come and be a part of what God wants to do. Another thing, this past weekend we had a marriage seminar. And who of you have not ever gone to a marriage seminar? I mean, most people have already. Even some single people have done it. And they now have faith. And yet, we at Friday night and Saturday evening, we filled the upper room. We were full to capacity, almost 50 people. Once again, a great response to if God says that the family is a foundation, and in the book of Nehemiah, it says that Nehemiah taught the people to, and instructed them to build in front of their own houses, to repair the wall in front of their own houses. And we saw that as part of God wants to restore families, and He wants to make marriages and families strong. Because a strong family and a strong family will create a strong community. So it for us, it's such a beautiful thing to see that people are responding well to what God is revealing. And we're not seeing it as, oh, it's a course here and a course there, but it's all part of something that God is doing. We've just had this Thursday, we have had a new members course where we were just blown away by the amount of people that came. It's like, where do these people come from? But God is adding them. And God is adding. And as the people were just sharing their testimonies, it was so beautiful that we didn't really have to sell a vision. Because the people had a sense in their heart that God was sending them. And it wasn't like they were listening to sending messengers, but it was something that the Holy Spirit is pressing upon the heart of the people. And I do want to encourage you, you who have ears to hear, let you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And it was beautiful just to hear testimonies, and you realize how does this church become such a wonderful church, and the prevailing thing that went around the room was, you know, when we walk in here, we experience love. We experience family. We experience the love of God in this place. And that is something that God has been speaking to us about. So I want to thank those that are here that welcome those that visit with so much love. I want to thank you for that. I want to commend you for that. I want to say to you, that is a great response to what God is saying in our midst. So if I'm going to speak this morning, and I want you to hear that I'm coming from a place that I think our church is in a good place. I think the church here is at the moment in a good place. We can rejoice in that. And that can also become our great enemy. That we settle for good when we can journey to great. Where does the Spirit of God take us? From one degree of glory to another. I'm saying that the Lord is creating by His Spirit. And I want to say to you, this is not programming. We've run programs before and courses. But there is a God-given momentum that God is doing. I mean, even since the beginning of the year, even the way that this congregation has worshipped has changed. And it wasn't like we had this course on worship. It wasn't like that we were teaching the people on worship. But there's something that happened in the Spirit that's starting to change. And those that can hear what the Spirit is saying is picking up on what the Spirit is doing. And I want to thank you for responding to what the Spirit is doing. And I want to encourage you to keep on responding. It's beautiful that there's been talk last year that, you know, there's this thing that that new songs will be written. And this morning we heard one of the first fruits of those songs. And I believe many more are coming. I want to say to you that for those that you are visiting, we're busy working through the book of Nehemiah. And please hear me in this. I'm not political at all. But when we prayed so long for a new president, who have you prayed for a new president? You should be rejoicing like big time. And in his inaugural speech, Cyril Ramaphosa said, "Now is the time for everybody to lend a hand to say, send me. Send me. Now is the time for all to work together." Does that sound familiar? It sounds like the book of Nehemiah. Then the other day, I just read a little article in January 2017. An article was written about Cyril Ramaphosa when he was just coming back into politics, and he said he was going to stand for the presidency of the ANC. This guy wrote an article about him, and he talked about his early days in the student Christian movement in South Africa when he was at school and at university, his AOG or Pentecostal background. And then it said, for him to transform the ANC, he will have a job of biblical proportions, almost like Nehemiah. Ach ja. This was written a year ago. I want to say to you, if you don't know it, there's something afoot in our nation. And we should thank God for it and not be cautiously optimistic. We should be excited. Even what God is doing in our church, we should not be cautiously optimistic. We should be ecstatic. This is the answer to prayer. This is the Spirit of God moving in our midst, putting things together that we as leaders can never, in our wildest dreams, think that we can organize or program this. If you can't see this, please come. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your eyes be open. Really? Tani Sonia, come.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, "Come and see." And so that's the word the Lord gave me for today. Come and see every single one of us. Can anything good come out of Wellington? Come and see.
Amen.
So we are rejoicing that the Lord has brought us together, and you'll never believe it, but on the 2nd of February, I was told that in June, I will probably have to go to Canada. And Canada is a first world, they don't really need anything. But since then, I've heard of how much they need Jesus. And so I said, "Lord, I can't go there because I've got tottering knees. They're even in Hebrews 12 verse 2. And the Lord said, "I want you to go to Canada." And later the next week he said, "I want you to step into opportunity." So never mind the tottering knees, just step into opportunity.
Amen. Praise God. Since we are, I'm really going to be short. I'm not going to get to what I want to preach about this morning. We're busy with the book of Nehemiah, but we can't really understand the book of Nehemiah without reading the book of Ezra. It was actually two books. The two books were one Ezra and two Ezra. They were written together. And it had to do with the exiles coming back to Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the walls. And It said about the rebuilding. It says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. This is in Ezra chapter 3, verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the direction of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Take note, they did not only start praising when the temple was rebuilt. It was when the foundation was laid. What does Paul later on say in the book of Corinthians? We don't lay any other foundation than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. So when we come together, when we worship God in song and praise God in song, that is the reason why we start worshiping. Why we start praising. It's not how we feel. It's not how we're experiencing life at the moment. It's not what the principalities and powers over our town says. It's not what we are going through circumstantially that determines what that is the motivation or the basis or the foundation of our worship. The foundation of our worship is simply this. Christ has died and rose again, ascended, and will come again. Foundation. Therefore, is that ever going to change? Therefore, I want to encourage us. Let it be the basis and the motivation of praise and worship. That you never have to submit to your feelings. You can submit to truth. And then you can say like David, oh my soul, why are you downcast within me? Why are you downcast within me? Do you not see the Lord? Because when we see Jesus, and when our eyes are focused upon Jesus, the foundation, the eternal foundation that never needs to be relaid again, we always, always, in every season of a soul, whether we're laughing or crying, mourning or dancing, we have a motivation to praise God with a shout of praise. Always. We had a worship leader that was with us. He was a simple man, but he said some profound things. And one of the things that he says is only really two times that we should worship the Lord. It's when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. Therefore, if that becomes the very foundation and the motivation of worship, then our worship won't be this week and woo next week. Because we don't worship from a place of our soul. We worship from the place of our spirit. And we actually, our spirit, our regenerated spirit that has been made perfect in Christ Jesus, actually starts telling our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our willpower, what they will do. And it instructs our body. Do I always feel like lifting my hands? No. But you know what? I tell my body, lift your hands. Lift them. Is God worthy? Whoop. It's not a Pentecostal thing. Lifting of hands. It actually means if we lift our hands to God, it means that we are thanking God. In Hebrew culture, if someone did something to you, you saw him, you would throw out your hand and yada. And you would say, that would mean thank you, I honor you for what you have done for me. So lifting your hands is in thanksgiving to God. It's not, it's ni hands up, baby hands up, ni. I know there are people that say, you know, it's the international sign of surrender. That's why we lift our hands to Jesus. It's an interesting notion, but it's just not true. The true biblical meaning of lifting our hands is thanksgiving and honor to God. That's what it means. To yada, to throw your hands towards God and thank Him for what He has done. And it says here, who sang? The builders. We are the builders. We are the builders. Every single one of us. And we build together. And that is what the book of Nehemiah is about. Is the building together of a wall, of a physical structure. But while the people were building a physical structure, God was taking a people that were in exile, that didn't have their own place, and He was establishing and He was actually reshaping people. They were building a wall. God was building a community. They were building something with stones. God was building and reconnecting living stones. We must understand that this is what God is busy with in His church. God is not interested in one meeting or another, but God is interested that we are being built together as living stones. Built together. Not stacked together, not thrown together, but being built together. Who of you know that if you have a heap of bricks on a building site, it does not make a building? There's a process of planning. There's a process of design. There's a process of counting cost. And then there's a process of meticulously following a plan and a pattern in a specific order so that this building will raise up with a foundation, will be raised up until roof height. And we need to understand that God is not a haphazard God. And God is busy with us because He's building a house for His glory. He's building a holy habitation for Himself, and the relationship that He calls us into with Him and with one another is that temple that He is building. And in a sense, we are the building stones, but we're also the builders. And I know that sometimes we take that scripture and says, Jesus said that He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then we say, we have nothing to do with the building of the house of God because Jesus is building His church. What does Jesus use? Us. When He ascended, He who ascended also descended. And when He ascended, He gave gifts to men, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping or the maturing of the saints for the work of ministry. He gave the gifts of the Spirit, not for Christian entertainment, but for the edification, which means the building up of the body. Paul instructs us, he says in the same scripture that he says that we lay no other foundation which has already been laid, which is Christ Jesus. But then he says this, but each one must be careful how he builds. So each one of you are building. Not all of us are building straight, but all of us are constructing something with our thoughts, something with the words that we speak. All of us are constructing something and building together or alone, by the word that we speak and the actions that we take, they're all part. The way that we live our lives of Christian has an effect, has a constructs something in the Spirit. And it either constructs something according to the pattern of God, or it patterns something after the world and own ambition and own desires. So we are all builders. Turn to the person next to you. Say, if you're a part of this congregation, you're a builder. Bob the builder. Yes, he can. And I'm going to close this morning, and because I do want to speak on how we build, but we can do that later. I'm sure that we'll get another opportunity. But here is, the people understood that there was something being built. And it says, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of the house being laid. Though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping, for the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. We have a choice. We have a choice. What sound will you release? There's only two sounds. Weeping and rejoicing. Only two sounds. I want to ask you in this season, what is the sound that you are releasing? What is the sound that you are releasing? Here's the thing. If your shout is based on foundation and you have Christ Jesus, you should shout for joy. If I consider my own situation, my own predicament, my own failures, my own life, most probably, I'll either weep because it's bad now, or I'll weep because it's worse than it was before. But I'll weep. In Ezra, when Ezra stood up and he preached, he read the Word of God, the very foundation of Jewish society, the Word of God. When he read it, the people started weeping. What did Nehemiah say? Don't weep. Rejoice. Rejoice. If we see what God is doing, rejoice. Even if you see it as, even if you can only see a little bit, rejoice. Because it's foundation. Remember, we're rejoicing about foundational stuff, which is Jesus. And if we see that Jesus, what Jesus is boldly, is busy doing in our midst through the work of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, then I want to ask you, remember when the people started building this temple, when they started building the altar, when they started building, the rest of Jerusalem was in shambles. It was broken down. It was an unsafe city. It wasn't hunky-dory. Everything wasn't going to plan. The people's lives weren't sorted out. But they saw something of God, and that caused them to rejoice. So I want to ask us in this season, I want to really ask us that we, that the sound of joy, there's a lot to rejoice about what God is doing corporately. I'm not saying we shouldn't weep at all, but let the rejoicing drown out the weeping. Rejoicing usually encourages people. Weeping depresses us. So weep your weepings, but make sure that based on Christ, which is eternal, your situation might get worse or better, but Christ will remain unstoppable, irresistible, beautiful, powerful, overcoming, still overcoming. So let the sound in our conversations, let the sound on across our dinner tables, let the sound in our home groups, let the sound here, let our conversations with other people in the world show that we understand foundation. Show that we understand Christ. Show that we understand that He is the one that spoke yesterday, that is speaking to us today and will speak to us forever. He is the one that was and is to come. He is going to stay stable. In a world that is unstable, He has given us a kingdom that is unshakable. In a world that every kingdom will shake and shall be shaken, He has given us an unshakable kingdom. That is the truth. You might not experience that as fact, but that is the truth. And I really want to encourage us that when we think about our season at the moment, that we truly celebrate and we are truly thankful for what the Lord is doing. Now, is He going to do more? Absolutely. But let's make sure that in our camp, the shout of praise and the shout of encouragement, they sang to the foundation, grace, grace, divine enablement, divine enablement. Christ in us, grace, full of grace and truth. He is our foundation. Let's make sure that what comes out of our mouth reflects that. In this season, let a shout of joy, be heard in our midst. And if people ask you, what is that sound of joy? What is that sound of praise? That you have an answer. God's busy with us. God's taking us through a process. That's why I want to encourage you to find out what God, if you don't know what God's doing in the church, come more often. If you can't come more often, get the recordings. It's important what God is saying to us. If you're going to get one in five, you're going to get a small portion of what God is doing. We're not trying to get attendance up. We don't get brownie points in heaven for attendance. We don't. Not that I know of. But there was something about the people of God when they saw and they heard what God was doing. They said, let us rise and build. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about rise and build. You can't sit and build. It means you've got to get up from where you are, migrate, to come and join the work. Amen? A shout of joy. A shout of praise. In the midst of people. I want to tell you, if we understand that, if we understand that when we come into a meeting like this and it's time to worship God and praise God in song, we will need no worship leader to sing a lacquer song that gets us warmed up. We won't. Because we'll be worshiping from a place that we understand Christ. We don't need a warm-up song. Say, great. But we won't need them. Because we'll worship. We'll be able to worship if there's music or not. We'll be able to worship. And we'll be able to praise. Because it comes from within. It comes from within. I want to encourage us to allow you. It says that when they spoke about Ezra in Nehemiah, it says the people had a mind to work. In Ezra, it says everybody who God stirred up their spirit to be involved in the word. I want to encourage you to be stirred up in your spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and stir you up. There is something about the stirring of the Holy Spirit that changes your life. And if you say, Jan, I don't know what the stirring of the Holy Spirit is, then I would really like for you to be filled with the Spirit. Because that's one of the ways that you get stirred in your spirit, is that you are less full of yourself and more full of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So as we consider what God is doing in our midst, do you think that we can give God a shout of praise? I want to challenge you. The day that our previous president, Nelson Mandela, when he was released from prison and he walked into Parliament for the first time, nobody had to ask people to stand up. They stood up and they clapped for 10 minutes. This is a good start. Let's not give God something.
Woo-hoo!
A complimentary clap. Let's give him something that is worthy of who he is. Nelson Mandela is a great guy, wonderful human being. But when we think who we are applauding to, who we are welcoming into our midst, let's God give God something that is worthy of. Maybe you should clap sometimes until your hands can't clap anymore.
So ek wil net gou iets deel. Wat ek keer het om mens nodig om te hoor dat God sê, laat die mens iets in jou het om jou te vat na die plek toe waar jy nie anders kan as om soos dit uit te bars van vreugde en vrede. So dis wat die hemel van julle sê, dis nie die hoe en die hoekom en die hoe lang nie, maar dis die dat. In ewigheid staan het geskrywe dat jylle spesifiek jylle, die mense wat hier is, die huis, die familie, dat jylle het reg gekry om te doen wat voor jylle staan. Selfs waar jylle nou met die boulijn in jylle handen staan, in ewigheid is het vastgemaak, jylle het reg gekry, jylle het so suksesvol gewees in dit wat jylle aangepak het, jylle het geseëvier, dit staan vast so, en het is, dis redelijk, ek denk God sê die rest al van uit, dat mense moet soek die hoe, en net die tree wat moet afgetree word, op pad soen toe. Maar as jy wil juig oor iets, dan weet dit tenminste, dat jemel juig al klaar oor die feit, dat jylle was suksesvol in alles wat jylle gedoen het. Ek het nie hierdie ochend gekry nie. Ek het omtrent 15 jaar gelede gekry, voordat die twee mense by mekaar was, in hierdie plek. En het was gesê van hierdie dag, terwijl daar nog niks was, selfs nou, het julle reeds gesê vir.
Just want to end us off with Psalm 100. Jesus says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. And know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and give thanks to him who prays his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And I just had a sense that, as Jan said, like our joy and our clapping, that clapping of Nelson Mandela was ushering in a new season. And I just have this thing in my heart that we are, our praise is ushering in a new season. It is a season for the church to blossom and to be beautiful and reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. Yes. So our praise is in that what will be even, and the more that will come. So I want to encourage us and just say amen to this word. Let's continue worshiping and praising our Lord, ushering in a new season where the church is going to be beautiful. He's beautiful, going to reflect the beauty of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the captives set free, the sick healed, right? Amen. We're going to see the lepers cleansed. We're going to see bravery in the church, a movement of faith in our midst. So, Lord, we want to thank you that we can be a part of what you are doing. And we want to say, Lord, come and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.